See Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers now playing only in theaters. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Most of us are disingenuine. I'm nothing like him at all.
That's
I know. Everyone's like, Claire, we wish cold. We would prefer that Genuine were here right now. Fair enough.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. So, a classic men tell all last night, in that the men really did not tell all.
We essentially learned nothing. Except that they all still love Becca. She's great.
Yeah.
And they think she's great.
And that is learning something, because often they don't love the lead anymore.
Very true.
Bit of a surprise. But so many words came out of their mouths at such high volume and velocity. So we have a lot to break down. And here to help us with that are one of our favorite guests, Michael Garofola.
Oh, thank you, Claire.
Hi. Welcome back to the pod.
Yes. And let's start out first by wishing Emma a very happy birthday.
Thank you, guys.
Today's Emma's birthday.
It's literally her birthday today.
I'm just glad I could get another year older and still be watching this trash heap of a show.
Yeah.
Yes. It's sort of a gift to you every Monday night.
Yeah. A true gift. Yeah. It keeps me young as I realize everyone on the show is now younger than me, essentially.
Yeah. That's a tough thing to come to grips with. Yeah. I'm like, the oldest person on this show is my as old age. As my age.
Yeah. When I see 25 flash up there and it's like, and then I'm like, yeah.
You're like, I got to quit this.
25-year-old dudes. I don't remember the last time I dated a 25-year-old dude. There's, never been a time when that wasn't really young.
I would say, it's in order to remember 25, I should go on my Instagram and look. And then I'm like, Instagram definitely did not exist when I was 25.
Yeah, let's not talk about how long ago that was.
Yeah, okay. moving on. Happy birthday, Emma.
Happy birthday to me. This episode, I don't even know where to start. I couldn't take notes. Everything just happened on top of each other. And I was like, they're saying so much. And I'm learning so little.
It was a real disaster in my apartment. I was like rewinding at commercial breaks so that I could write stuff down that I had missed in the first.
Yeah, I do not have DVR.
Didn't have any room to tweet. And then at one point, I was grabbing for a drink of wine because I needed it and spilled it all over my keyboard. So things were just messy.
Well, that in fact is more graceful than what we witnessed on that mental all stage.
Exactly.
Spilling wine all over your keyboard.
In comparison, I felt pretty chill.
Okay, so the bros are back in town, at least some of them. Who was actually on this mental all? We had Jake, Christian, Camille, Kristen, Benmo John, Jean Blanc, Joe, Grocery Joe, Nick, Connor with the glasses, Jordan, Chris, David, Leo, Wills, Colton, and Jason. So we were obviously missing Lincoln because he has been charged with a crime. I mean, convicted of a crime. Yes. Banjo Ryan, who was nowhere to be seen. Mike Renner, who was the long-haired
football analyst.
Yeah, football analyst. And Clay Harbor.
And also a Notre Dame alum, Mike Renner.
I know.
I have a second Notre Dame alum out there somewhere.
Are there only two? I feel like Notre Dame is like a classic bachelor pool.
Us. Really?
Just a bunch of clean-cut white guys.
That's true, yeah.
With there
Christian
should be more
educations.
Of you.
Although
maybe the Catholic conservative, though, maybe not. But maybe. No, I agree with you, actually. I do agree.
I feel like we were missing
Clay.
More
no
people
Clay.
Than usual.
Yeah, no Clay.
No Clay.
Yeah,
probably
no Clay.
Because, you know, you know, he's trying to make an NFL team probably right now. Or
yeah, I assume for some of them it was work obligation.
Injury. And we had more like first night departures, I feel like, than usual. We had 3 first night departures.
They had to fill people in, apparently.
Yeah.
And I guess Camille is going to be on Paradise. So
and Joe, right?
I mean, yeah, and Joe. Right. Yeah. There were 4 guys from night one, which is unusual.
Oh, yeah, 4 guys. Wow.
That's really unusual.
Yeah. So, but it, and one thing that I always enjoy at Mental All is how the guys have all not so subtly upgraded their looks based on
feedback.
Feedback or like even just
guilty.
Seeing themselves on
guilty
TV.
What did you do?
Yeah, I was very much like criticized, you know, during the show. I mean, I had really longer hair, probably longest than it's ever been for me. And I think I was like sort of criticized, you know, I got the like, oh, Michael and his like greasy, messy hair, you know, that kind of
thing.
You
were the Jason of your season.
Did you get a haircut?
Yeah, it wasn't as slick. I wasn't slick back. I didn't look like Michael Corleone.
No, I remember. It was like glowing waves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So glowing waves, amber waves of grain.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
But I definitely took that to heart, and you could see like some of the other guys too, like you know, except for the one guy who was wearing Jordan called him out for wearing the high waters.
Yeah, that was
that
a
Camille?
Lot.
No, that was Christian.
Christian.
Another
okay.
night one.
Okay.
Who
yeah,
knows? I mean,
sorry.
Yeah, who
yeah.
exactly?
I didn't want to take Jordan's side on a fashion thing, but I was like, those are really those are capris.
Yeah, those were.
I don't think the capris look good on anyone.
No, they were almost
men, women.
They were almost Bermuda shorts. I mean, yeah. they were close.
Another rough look to pull off. So,
who were the other upgrades? Well, we had Connor. Connor's glasses.
Nick had a new haircut, which was. I remember Nick is having a very like. Featureless bland hair, and he really went for the like
a swoop, buzz.
The swoop,
yeah,
thing.
The, futuristic
the side buzz, like,
yeah,
heavily styled top.
And then obviously, yeah. Jason got a haircut,
yes,
it was still a little slicked back, more slicked back than we've seen on Instagram, which I think looks better when it's less slicked back, but it was shorter,
agreed.
It looked
yeah.
good.
Joe had
longer hair,
longer hair.
It was,
kinda,
much
it was beautifully
much
rumpled.
Yeah.
That was like
he's
seeing
so
him
cute.
On with his new hair. I was like, oh, he is cute.
He's really cute.
I didn't get it before.
He's really cute.
But if you need a specific hairstyle to find someone cute, then.
I mean,
you know.
I think a lot of people actually, a good haircut makes a huge difference. It's like the way that, like, nice eyebrows make
it can
a huge
make a
difference.
Good I think more in the sense that, like, if we were dating, I would be like, clearly I'm not into you enough.
Fair.
Which is, but it's nothing against
and
him.
And Connor's glasses, I do think, were a direct result of people. Calling him hotter with glasses.
He also had quite a jacket on.
There were some fashion statements. Yeah. Leo and Wills were really winning it in the fashion department.
What Leo
for me.
Was wearing?
Leo's
a
red,
that
Ron burgundy, red suit.
It was nice.
Yeah.
My looks
like,
good.
That's my look.
No, that is my look. I do rock that for Halloween though. I mean, I can't pull it off. It's not mine's not as nicely tailored as Leo's.
Have you ever tried to pull it off?
I mean, I am kind of a big
in
deal.
Court?
People
yeah.
know me. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment
true.
Smells of rich mahogany.
And in the world of this podcast, you're kind of have that Ron Burgundy level of importance.
Stay classy, so, Claire.
Yeah. Who else? Jason was wearing what looked sort of like a smoking jacket.
It was nice.
Yeah.
And I liked
sort
the,
of a brocade fabric with a shiny lapel.
It was. I thought he looked very classically handsome, and. Not Venmo John. Grocery Joe went no jacket.
Yeah.
Just a nicely patterned tailored shirt.
Yeah.
Very Bachelor in Paradise ready, you know, very much like I am up here. I went home night one. Get ready to see me on Paradise.
Yeah.
I think he had the right idea. He's like, I went home night one. I don't have much to say.
And I have nothing to prove.
It
was smart.
He doesn't seem like a very particularly talkative, you know,
no.
person that's going to stir the pot anyway.
Yeah.
But I will say, historically, I don't remember a single night one person getting that kind of attention and on the hot seat, except for those guys that on night one, they get so drunk that they, you know.
Do something terrible.
Yeah.
End
up in the pool or and then they want to go up there to apologize, of course. But
he got an invitation.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think we saw from his appearance on the hot seat why that never happens, because he had nothing to say and was very and here's something I want to mention, because no one seems to agree with me on this, but I feel very strongly about it. Grocery Store Joe has, like, serious Pete Davidson vibes. in the way that he talks and the way, like, his smile and his, like, the way he holds himself. And it became distracting to me. Like, every time that that Chris asked him a question, he would, like, crack a huge grin and be like, I don't know. I guess I'm just...
I wasn't there very long.
Yeah. And I was like, I feel like I'm watching Pete Davidson play him on SNL.
It was very charming.
It was.
I was into it.
And that's what made me realize that
he has BDE.
That's what made me realize.
He has a quiet confidence. He's very...
Also, I saw a few other people tweeting about his big dick energy as well.
Yeah.
I guess we just didn't start thinking about, like, which of these people has BDE and which do not. Does Jordan have BDE?
No.
He's
right?
The opposite.
No.
I don't think David does either. No. BDE. Leo, BDE.
Yeah.
Yes. Leo does. Wills, we decided,
does.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do we think about... I kind of think Garrett and Blake both don't.
Do not.
No.
Do not.
Yeah.
What about Jason? I'm torn.
Yeah. It's a toss-up.
I'm just glad we're on the same page here.
It's a toss-up with Jason. I didn't, like, I'll tell you something. I think Jason is, like, someone, like, who you need to sell high. And I think he took, for me, Jason took a few steps down last night in his performance. He was too much the...
Bachelor candidate?
No, he was the Michael Corleone of, like, the group, like, the goth. Like, he sat there, like, with the way he, like, held his fingers. And I'm obviously doing this right now for Emma and Claire, for those of you listening.
He's
can't
steepling
see,
his fingers.
You know, I need you to make an offer. I need you to. You were a little too into Jordan, and I didn't really appreciate that. And I think we're all here for Becca. Like, I don't know. He just, like, he was too much trying to be, like, the voice of reason and the say what he thought everyone wanted to hear and wanted to hear him say, because he is obviously a candidate to be the next Bachelor. And the other thing, talk about the fact that these guys are all now, you know, changing their looks in response to these comments that they're getting and the, you know, trolls and things like that on Twitter or, you know, just being advised by people about, you know, how much grease to put in your hair. I think the other
the
part
answer
of it
is always less.
Always less to none. But the other thing too you have to understand is that now they're there and they know which of them has the most Instagram followers now, the most Twitter followers, where they kind of know where they all stand in the Bachelor, like, pantheon
it's
and hierarchy of their
true.
Season. And Jason's very much obviously sitting at the top of that there. I mean, with Jordan and even Grocery Joe, you know, and so it that definitely changes the dynamic and it definitely changes how people, unfortunately, interact with one another. Like,
I think you're completely right.
Like, Grocery Joe went home night one. He certainly didn't hear the barbs from other people. Like, why is this guy here? Who's he? He's, you know, he went home night one. Why is he even here?
Right.
Because people know he has social capital in the Bachelor universe.
They want to be seen with him. They want to be friends with him. They want to post Instagram photos with him because that increases their popularity to show, like, I'm here with Grocery Joe posting photos. I don't know.
It's just one of the realities of this world now, because social media plays such a strong role once you get off the show. And I don't even fault people for falling into it, because I think it's kind of natural. It's sort of to buy in when you're surrounded by that. But it is weird and it's noticeable.
There were some ways that it played out that surprised me. The Jason thing didn't surprise me, although I wanted him to take it back several notches.
Because he is so charming. Like, you didn't need to be campaigning so much. I really like Jason, and I'm like, no. Just
he bothered me
step
last
back.
Night.
Yeah, take a step
it was
back.
A little much. But I feel like he was like, I'm the last one who went home. I have a lot of fans. I didn't fuck anything up. I feel like he was acting like team captain. Like, he was like, I'm the guy who just, like, quietly has the most experience, knows what's going on. I'm going to, like, keep an eye on things, keep morale up, keep everyone level-headed. But then Colton would, you think, also have a lot of, like, stock in this world. And he acted like someone who went home earlier in the season under worse circumstances. Like, he seemed to be picking a lot of fights with people, to be feeling very defensive about, like, his interactions with other people in the house. I'm not talking about the virginity stuff, which is a whole different kettle of fish. But, like, the way that whenever someone had some like had a question asked of them, he'd be like, I just want to say I think that guy sucks and like what he did sucks and like I can't believe he did that. It's like, Colton, chill out.
Impression.
You came in like fifth. You're doing fine.
Right.
Or
you're
fourth.
Doing amazing, sweetie.
Yeah. You're doing amazing. Don't like look like.
Also, Becca's amazing. But you suck.
Seriously, I felt like he was acting like you would expect like a Chris to act. Like insecure, confrontational.
Yeah. I think perhaps he isn't an insecure person. And I
clearly
kept forgetting that he is only 26. He's one of the youngest guys there.
And here's another factor, too. Not only, you know, are these guys coming, you know, off of their seasons, you have the people from Bachelor in Paradise there who've already filmed Bachelor in Paradise. So there are those weird dynamics at play as well.
That they can't even speak to.
That they can't even speak to and address, like, the whole, you know, Jordan and Colton going back and forth about Tia. Obviously, we know Colton gets with Tia in Paradise. Something happens. I don't know how that ends up. But, you know, presumably they both know in the back of their head that that happens in Paradise and what comes from that. And we've obviously seen plenty of promos that allude to it as
right.
well.
We saw a lot. We saw a lot on the Paradise promo. Apparently, right. there's a love triangle between Kendall, Joe, and Leo.
Yeah.
Really didn't see
Leo apparently says some really like aggressive things to Joe, which like I can't imagine what would have prompted it.
Also, who knows what so often they chop up those promos in a weird way that they're not even.
But he did specifically say something about him being like a grocery store bitch or
something.
Oh,
yeah, you're
right.
And
I was like, there's nothing else that could
very weird. Robbie is apparently going to be on TV again for some reason.
He's on Paradise.
He was on the promo.
Oh,
we
God.
See Jordan kind of jockeying over Jenna.
And then also maybe Tia.
I would love to see a Jordan Robbie showdown. That would be great.
Well, Jordan made some sort of comment in the promo about all the work Robbie's had done on his face.
Yeah.
I was like, you guys kind of look alike.
They look exactly. They are the, I mean, we talked about this before, the patterns
type.
And the, you know, the.
Jordan is way funnier than Robbie.
Oh, way funnier. But like their look is the same.
Cuter.
And they're both from Florida.
I think Robbie is like actively not good looking. So I actually think Jordan
just too much. He's done too much to himself. You know?
And he has that hair like the guy who was on The Proposal last night where it's just
that hair. I saw that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even he's finding a bride, you know? Like, what am I doing? What I can't. I
you have to go on this show where they can't run away until it's too late.
That's what I. Yes.
I love when the guy comes out and the women are like,
yay.
And always the one woman is like, I'd really like to maybe get engaged to you. It seems great. And he's like, that's the one I want. The one who seems like really unhappy to be
here. For the rest of our lives, can you stay behind that curtain?
Things were so good back then.
When I just heard your voice.
When you were the wizard.
Yeah, you sounded great.
Yeah.
Okay, so Chris starts actually with Chris R. That's like kind of the first real reckoning we have. And all the guys are like, oh, you like lost your mind and it ruined everyone else's week. And Chris is like, yeah, that's true.
Chris did exactly the thing that you should do when you know you were an asshole on TV.
Right.
Just be like, yep, because then it wasn't even really a thing.
Yeah.
That could have been such a focal point of the men tell all. And he had like two quick things where he just was like, yeah,
completely
I was a
defused
dick.
It. Yeah,
that's it.
I think to a person, everyone sort of has a goal of men tell all. For the people who, you know, were boring on the season, I know producers go to them and like, hey, you know, the reason why you were barely shown on the season is you were kind of boring. Like, spice things up, you know.
That's how we get Christian threatening to fight Jordan.
Tell Colton he sucks. Tell someone this. Tell someone that. Call someone out. Be exciting because, you know, this is your last chance to get your face on television and have people attack you on Twitter. And so take advantage of it. And then you have the other guys who were a jerk or who, you know, didn't appreciate their edit for whatever reason. And they want to go up there and definitely do damage control and they want to mitigate. And but yeah, everyone has a goal. You know, everyone goes on there with a goal. Sometimes it's just to show off your glasses and other times it's to show off your haircut. And
often
times
they
it's
really fail, though.
Wear high pants.
Sometimes fail at their mission.
Oh, yeah. For sure, because they're human beings and they're on the show.
I expect more from them than humanity. I expect superhuman results.
That's because you've been watching the British Love Island, so you know.
I know. They take things to another level.
So the first part is a lot of Jean Blanc. Oh, yeah. A little bit of Jean Blanc, but then...
The Jean Blanc thing I thought was hilarious because Chris asked Jean Blanc about it, and before he can even say anything, Colton is like, here's the thing. He lied to us. He lied to Becca. You lied to everyone here. And again, that was us and also Becca and also Chris and also the viewers, to be perfectly honest. And it's just bullshit. I can't. He swore. Like, everything was bleeped out. And finally, Jean Blanc is like, I'm talking to an answering question.
You lied to Mike Fleiss. How could you lie to Mike Fleiss?
Who could lie to Mike Fleiss? That poor baby angel. He's so innocent.
God, after everything he did for you.
I know. Finally, Jean Blanc is like, I'm talking to Chris. I'm not here to talk to, like, little boys. And then Colton says, well, whatever you say, you're going to take it back in 3 seconds.
And the audience goes, oh. Being a member of this audience seems like a terrible
work. I hope they pay them.
Yeah. Well, I know. You could just tell when clearly they're holding up a sign that's like, applause.
Yeah.
Boo.
They're very responsive. They know their role. And this is the point where Jean Blanc says something that's mostly bleeped out, but based on what space there is and based on what Colton says later, it sounds like he says something like, Colton, you're acting like a pussy, but you haven't even seen one.
Or you haven't been inside of one or something like
Something like that.
I believe
that
is what
was
said.
Inside of one, I thought was a little long for the bleep, which is why, because that was what was said on Twitter, like before the episode aired, like Reality Steve or someone tweeted it. But like it was a pretty short, I don't know. But it was something like that.
It was a crappy comment.
Yeah. It was really gross. And then Colton says, now you're being disrespectful on top of being disingenuous. What I love about this is that disingenuous has become a word that just only exists in Bachelor. It doesn't exist anywhere else, but it's become a staple of the Bachelor vocabulary.
I think I said disingenuous earlier, and I should have said disingenuous.
On the podcast, we prefer correct terms, but
actual English words.
I actually want to say, like, I want to be like disingenuine and be like ride the pony and start singing. You know, that's what I
would. Well, you would be the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Most of us are disingenuine. I'm nothing like him at all. I know. Everyone's like, Claire, we wish we would prefer that Genuine were here right now. Fair enough. And Jean Blanc is like, I was really falling for Becca. And the guys are all like, I don't believe you. Jason says that he used the power of love for badness.
Oh, yeah.
And that's wrong. And that's
I think I just blacked out during this entire exchange because it was just.
That made me.
This is something I had to rewind.
I thought no one came off well in this conversation. Yeah. It was like, oh, just
Jordan
stop.
Was like,
I had the opposite reaction. I fast forward. I was like, don't ever see this. Don't ever show this again. Let's fast forward.
Jason had this whole thing where he was like, I'm going to be the guy who really puts a little nail in Jean Blanc's coffin and like
sums it
all up.
Here's the moral of this story, kids.
The thing about love is it's a powerful, powerful thing, and you can't deploy that power to hurt people. That's wrong, isn't it? That's wrong. I feel like I learned so much during this segment. But then we move along to Colton and Jordan now fighting over Tia. This was all like the first 15 minutes of the actual discussion. And Emma and I were slacking each other like, what is happening?
How do we take notes? How do we pay attention?
Like, the topic kept switching.
I think Jordan may have set the record for the most words spoken at any men tell all in history. I think he
and all
he
in was, perfect little epigrams.
Show. Yeah,
I mean, and that was show. As you said. Everyone goes in with a goal. That was his, and he succeeded.
Yeah. Which I'm actually surprised because I think after the season, I thought he was trying to do a lot of sort of like PR work in the sense that like, oh, you know, I was just messing around. If you knew me, you'd know I'm actually this really, low key, cool, chill, genuine guy, and that I'm just putting on an act for the show. Like, yeah. I think he did multiple interviews where he suggested that, and then, like,
he's been doing a lot of interviews. Local news outlets.
Yeah, someone sent us an article that was supposed to be, like, image rehab for Jordan. It was, like, a local news article, and they talked to his family, and they were like, he was treated so unfairly, and Jordan was like, I was treated so unfairly. But even in the interview, he said a bunch of stuff that was,
like, so unself-aware.
Confirmed our initial thoughts about like, he just said, like, douchey stuff about Becca being, like, lame and about the other guy. Like, it's
really
like when Courtney Robertson came out with her book that was like, all the other girls thought I was a bitch, but I wasn't at all. It's just that they all sucked and were the worst and I hated them and wanted them to suffer.
Yeah.
I was like, you're confirming the very thing that you're trying to disprove.
Yes.
But he had a lot of great lines. And he gets in this back and forth with Colton, which got very confusing very quickly because I think neither of them quite knew what the other person was trying to say.
I don't even think they were arguing over the same thing at all.
They were not.
They were not, like, they were definitely not, like, listening to understand. They were definitely listening to respond. And they already had in their mind the, like, comeback they wanted to use. So even if it, like, even if, like, Colton was like, hey, you know, and I really like frogs, you know, Jordan was still going to say, and Tia, and like, see what I mean? You really like frogs, Tia, you know, like,
I mean, there was a point later where Jordan says something totally kind of rational. And then David's like, this is what we were dealing with the whole time. And I was like, that would have worked as a quip if he had said something insane, which
any of the 75 other things he just said.
Any of the other things he just said. Yeah. But when you pick that thing, it becomes clear that you were just prepared to deploy that line.
It was interesting to me, though, that David clearly went in thinking, I'm not going to get into a big thing with Jordan. He sort of stayed out of it for the most part. You know, he said a couple things. He sort of said in a few different times, yeah, you know, I spent too much time on Jordan. It was frustrating that he wasn't taking it seriously. But that's about all he said. Mm-hmm. He did not really engage.
But he didn't have to get into the conversation. Yeah. He didn't have to get in at all.
Because Colton was doing it for him.
Right, Colton was doing it. And then Leo was saying, oh, Jordan's a modern-day narcissist. He fell in love with himself a long time ago.
What's the difference between an old-time narcissist and a modern-day narcissist?
I think that what he was sort of saying is he's a modern day narcissus, which is obviously where the term narcissist comes from. But he sort of doubled down.
Like, Jordan is a narcissist. That is correct.
And a modern day narcissus.
Yeah.
He just stares at himself and he loves himself. And then Jordan says, I'm an elephant and they're mice. I've got billboards up in all their minds and paving roads. I should have worn a work vest. I should have worn a work vest.
Yeah. Line of the night.
He was so prepared.
But like that, it was a prepared. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a line that you can prepare and just.
And use it and deploy it at will.
And they get in this big kind of fight, I think a couple times, about his golden underpants. And
people felt very strongly about this.
Colton was really upset by how ungentlemanly it was. And Kristana's like, well, Becca gave him a rose, so who cares? I have to agree.
Same. I thought this was a dumb thing to pick at Jordan over. I think the problem is, and I was saying this to you last night, Jordan is objectively annoying. I can see how he would get under other people's skin. But there isn't really some, like, moral failing to point to with him. He didn't do anything horrible to Becca. He didn't really do anything horrible to the other dudes. He was just, like, kind of an obnoxious person.
And when you're trapped in a small place with that, with a person like Jordan for an extended period of time, and you do not have cell phones, you do not have internet, you do not have books, music, movies, and you are just inundated with Jordan nonstop, and you're also feeling a little anxious and feeling nervous and, like, you know, with the setting, I could see how someone like that would really get on your nerves.
I can too, but then in this situation,
Becca, it's the opposite, where you're inundated with very earnest guys who are like, sorry about earlier where I just, like, went rage core and broke some shit, but I really care about you and I love you and I just want to pursue a serious relationship with you. I want to share myself with you. And that's like seven guys in a row. And you're like, oh, thank God, someone who is not going to.
A moment of levity.
Right. I can just have fun with this person, not take it seriously.
Like, she gave him the golden underwear. Obviously, she
thought it was funny.
Right. She didn't give them to him so that he could be like, oh, I'm being chastised. This is a sign that I should never wear underwear.
No, she very much like, she encouraged, she egged him on. She encouraged it. She was having fun with it. I mean, I don't think it
was. Obviously, she wasn't going to pick him.
I think it was a little, you know, I mean, I think, I don't know that I would pull my pants down in front of a, you know, a girl I'm trying to date and show the golden underwear. I think I'd probably, you know, say like, look, I'm wearing them, and like pull them out of my pants like he did last night for Chris Harrison. I mean,
sure.
I think that would be the extent. I would, but I, you know, I mean, I think that's fun.
But she
fun.
Gave
I think
them
I would,
to him yeah. because he previously stripped down to his underwear on a date.
Right.
So clearly she knew this was his proclivity, and she was, I mean, if I'm Becca, I'm like, why not keep things a little more?
You want to mix things up. And
yeah,
that's why we always see a handful of people, men or women, who make it at least halfway through that are just fun goofballs that the lead does not have to put in a ton of emotional labor with.
Yeah,
yeah, no. And after like heavy conversation after heavy conversation and, you know, dealing with a guy who, you know, thinks that the Parkland victims are crisis actors and likes all memes related thereto. It's nice to have a guy who will come and prance around in his golden underwear. And what yeah. I will
and
say
just
is,
laugh and
to
be like,
honest,
hey.
I wonder what Jordan's political views are.
Well, here, you. So I was just about to say, Claire, I was going to say, I think we've gone long enough without tying in some political reference and allusion. And what I'm going to say is what Emma said as well is that this reminds me, Jordan reminds me of Donald Trump in the sense that there are so many things that he's doing that annoy so many people that sometimes we lose focus on the ones that actually matter.
That's
and we're criticizing Jordan about prancing around in golden underwear, which Becca gave him, which, you know, obviously was all in good fun. And yet we're, you know, and so when you do that, then maybe the more insidious things that he may have done, I have no idea if there are any for Jordan, but, you know, this just works with my metaphor. You know, we are sort of drowned out or people are desensitized to because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's how Jordan's going to bring down the whole institution of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And at this point, David says he's going to jump in. And Jordan says, are you going to jump in or are you going to fall in, David?
Good one, Jordan.
I have to say, what impressed me about this line is that I don't know why you would prepare that in advance. So I have to feel like it just came to him in the moment.
That was pretty good.
I think these lines come to Jordan.
Yeah.
I believe that he...
Fallen was good.
Yeah. Because David doesn't seem like very assertive. He's like, I think I'm going to jump in. I don't know. I think I'm going to jump in maybe. And Jordan's like, come on, dude. Like, are you going to jump in or not?
Yeah. You don't have to announce you're going to jump in. You know,
right.
I think you just jump in.
You just jump in.
Yeah, like everyone else is shouting and yelling.
And then, of course, he didn't really say anything new. He just repeated what Colton said. Which then Jordan was like, oh, you agree with Colton? Of course you do. Of course you do.
Yeah. And then he says, I am not afraid to be myself. And that's good. I wouldn't want to be a hologram of a man. And I think he's gesturing to Colton or a skeleton of a man, which we know is David from their 2-on-1 date. So there's just a lot going on there. I think that was pre-prepared. So then they finally get into the question of whether Jordan actually ever said that he would be settling for Becca or even implied it.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did. David doesn't have anything to produce except that he's just like, well, I'm honest.
He was just trying to sort of move on.
Because he wasn't going to win that conversation.
Right. He knew he wasn't going to win, and at least he was smart enough to know he wouldn't win that. He's like, yeah, I have regrets. I shouldn't have talked about Jordan so much.
Yeah.
End of story.
And we don't yet know what Special Counsel Mueller is going to find out about what Jordan, if Jordan really said that. I mean,
we need to wait
for all the facts.
Yeah.
And collusion actually isn't a crime. And, you know, that's exactly what I'd want my lawyer to be saying.
And this is one point where I enjoy Jason's intervention because he tells David that he thought David was bullying Jordan and he wasn't, like, picking at anyone else. But he thought that by going after Jordan, David was preying on someone who was, well, maybe not weak. You know that he wanted to say someone who was weak.
Yeah.
Target.
I didn't get where Jason was going with that. That was like,
I think Jordan was sort of an obvious target for being picked at because
he's so reactive.
I think David enjoyed needling him.
And it started to come off as he just likes torturing someone.
But I don't think David succeeded in torturing him. You know,
I think David didn't do himself any favors.
Jordan needled him more than the other way around.
I think they were both needling each other.
It became very mutual.
But there were a lot of points where David would just like start shit. And I was like, why are you doing this? Mm. It never even looked good for him because he would just sit back looking very tense and self-conscious.
Kind of like Jordan raged. There was that Chris Lincoln thing during the season too, right? I mean, that seems similar.
Lincoln?
To
Who's Lincoln?
Oh, yeah.
There was no Lincoln on this season.
Okay.
Yeah, who?
I was saying LinkedIn. Have you seen my LinkedIn profile? I've updated it.
Michael
is
here to
make
LinkedIn connections.
Yeah. Friend him. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Michael and, you know, breaking down everything that's to come. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge, ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes. There's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article, that lovely chair out on my deck, Article, our big console, Article, my bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it's, I mean, it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Yeah, well, I guess at some point we should talk about the invisible Lincoln of this season.
Do we think that it would have been better for them to bring Lincoln on and confront him?
No, I think they just should have mentioned something about
it.
I think there was a way to say, of course, we're not going to give this person a platform, but also just even have Chris Harrison make a statement. Be like, as all of you know, Lincoln is not here.
Yeah,
he was convicted of something criminal.
I've learned, and I have not read the court filings, but I've learned that he has since withdrawn his guilty plea.
Yeah, I read that.
And that it is proceeding on a trial track now. There was an issue, an error with his sentencing, the sentencing given by the court with his GPS tracking, and therefore, rather than deal with issues on appeal because of that error, the judge decided to allow him to withdraw his guilty plea. So what that could mean is either he's going to go to trial, in which the people are ready, I'm hearing, for trial, or he will work out another plea deal and plea again to maybe something a little bit lesser, and the sentencing will be correct and they'll repeat. You know?
So that might complicate the statement a little bit. But
yeah, but sure. I mean, he's
still think they can say,
he's charged, accused.
Right, he was accused of you know, they don't even have to be so specific.
Yeah,
but I think
criminal case.
Yeah, I think they could have really easily addressed this and said, you know, the safety of the people on this show is the thing that's most important to us. We are reviewing. We're still in the process of reviewing our background checks.
Clearly, there
and
was
we are
a,
sorry that
a,
we failed our cast.
A failure. Yeah, there was
right.
A failure
there was a failure
on the part of you know.
And it. I just wish that they had said something. And
although admitting, you know, it's hard because they're also probably being advised by lawyers not to make that kind of statement because it's sort of it's an admission.
Opening.
It's an admission, and that would help in any future lawsuit potentially. They could say, well, look, they admitted guilt. I mean, it's case closed. I mean, they admitted guilt on national television.
Yeah.
I mean, that is like Exhibit A.
I mean, they've been very careful to be like, we did everything that we could be expected to do, and for these very freak reasons, it wasn't caught by
standard
measures.
I mean, they use a number of third-party services, which are to do background investigations, which are staffed by highly trained professionals, former FBI agents, former prosecutors, and they use a number of them. And then, you know, I don't
when
quite
I which makes me realize that even people I think of as being all-knowing, like FBI agents, can just miss something really big like
that. Yeah, the arrest should have shown up. I mean, sometimes these types of cases are sealed because of to protect the victim.
Right.
But there should have been at least a notation of an arrest somewhere. That should have shown up in any sort of triple I national inquiry, and that didn't show up.
Well, they made
a
lot about how because he was on vacation, it wasn't where he lives.
Yeah,
they weren't checking those jurisdictions.
I was going to say they made it sound as though they were only really focusing
it happened,
in on
it happened
these.
In Massachusetts, which is where he was living at the time.
I think it
and
happened
working.
In New York.
No, it's a Massachusetts court. Yeah,
yeah, really? It's Massachusetts. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was living there and working there, so I don't know that. I don't know what that story is.
It makes it seem like if you just go on a trip and commit a crime, there's one's going to catch you. Or if you move somewhere and then you move away again,
that's not true. I mean, if you're going back and forth from Uruguay, you know, maybe but.
So I'm going to have to really rework my planned crime spree.
Right. I mean, I understand their calculation for just trying to sweep this under the rug and hope that, you know, we put out a statement to news outlets. That's all we're going to say. But I think it does both the cast and the audience a disservice to not address that this is a thing that happened. I mean, mistakes can be made. I'm not even saying that they failed in some fundamental way here. I do think they have pretty good third-party background checks.
Yeah.
Sometimes things are missed, but just own it.
Yeah. Stop saying Lincoln lied to us. Stop. I mean, anyone that is fame hungry that wants to be on the show is not going to check the box that says, have you, you know, ever been convicted or charged or arrested for a sex offense? They're never going to be honest. They're never going to say, go through that process and then fill that out and be like, here you go. And they'll be like, oh, well, guess I'm eliminated. Goodbye. Once that, you know, if they fill that out and turn it in, you can assume that you still need to do the, you know, trust but verify there. You know, I mean, I think this company line of well, then Lincoln lied to us, so we had no idea.
And I appreciated Mike Renner sent Ashley Spivey a statement that I thought was really good and interesting that he's clearly I don't give a fuck. I'm going to speak up about this. He said, they put Becca in a situation where she was dating a man on trial for sexual assault. They made 20 men share living quarters with someone that turned out to be a sex offender. To act like one of the biggest lightning rods on the show didn't exist just to cover up their mistake is absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is a situation where we didn't get the chance to hear from any of the guys about how that affected them.
Yeah, there was a gag
or Becca.
Order, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we did hear a lot about how Jordan and Chris affected them. some of the guys that they brought to fill in space at this point make a play for some screen time.
Mostly Christian.
Mostly Christian. Christian jumps in. He just jumps in. He just goes for it. And he's like,
there's no falling.
David, I respect you for admitting you took it too far. I really respect that. And all the guys are like, who are you? Why are you here? And Christian says, I have a real job. I'm a premier banker.
Premier banker.
Is that a job title?
Is that a thing? A premier banker?
Yeah. Be. So getting back to
premier,
LinkedIn.
I'm a premier writer.
See, this is all tying in with my LinkedIn comment.
Yeah.
See, now where we should go look for premier bankers from San Diego on our...
Well, my resume
says a model.
Premier writer.
He's also a model.
But like just in his free time.
Because he has a real job.
Yeah.
San Diego, it's German for a whale's vagina. It's another Ron Burgundy quote. Yeah.
This is just, this show
getting
is just Michael doing, doing Ron Burgundy
just,
now.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry, guys.
Lanolin, like sheep's wool.
Camille gets dragged into this thing, and it feels like he was just like, please exclude me from the narrative. But Christian's like, Camille over here, he's a model. He's a model.
Honest, Camille was okay with it. Jordan was like, we're at the same agency. Hey, Camille. And Camille's like, look, some people are just basic models.
Oh, he said the thing about basic models. That was him.
Yeah.
Some people are just basic models. And if Jordan came to New York, he'd be swimming in a big river.
And now now Zoolander is a trilogy. Because we have the third movie was definitely the model off, the walk off, if you will.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we see Christian actually come down to physically confront model to model.
Yeah. At this point, Jordan. I just wanted to turn off my television. I'm like, these two...
I don't even know what the plan
Hansel
was.
Is just so hot
they
right
don't
now.
Jockeying. Hansel.
They don't try to fight. They don't really have anything to say to each other. They don't do any sort of walk off. What are they doing?
They were blue steeling each other. They were just like, ooh.
I really.
Well, because there's no actual conflict between them. They had nothing to say to each other.
Yeah. Christian just wanted to get on the floor. And I have to say, I think it's because he wanted everyone to see his sweet, sweet caprice.
And Jordan just keeps getting the best of these dudes who try to come after him because he sort of calls their bluff. He's like, oh. There's the camera. You want your moment? Great. Come down here. Here's your moment on camera. It just made Christian look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he gets down there and Jordan looks at him and is like, high waters really? In this really disappointed sounding voice.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I would have a more worthy opponent, but instead I have this guy in high waters and loafers. And in the end, Jordan gets the last word by saying fuck you to everyone, basically, except grocery store Joe.
Yeah.
So, the end.
I thought Jordan could have done better there.
Yeah.
You get the last, pull up one of your other canned lines. I mean, you have the last word.
You
have
the last word
so
and all you
better.
Say is fuck you. Come on, dude.
I feel like he choked.
He choked there.
He choked hard.
For once. He did not choke the entire night. He choked there.
At that point, he'd probably been speaking straight for 3 hours. So.
It's okay. We'll see Jordan at Mar-a-Lago soon.
But I appreciated that Camille said that because my stance on Jordan has always been that he's a catalog model. And we all know that it's not really the same thing.
It's a softer look.
I mean, I spoke to someone who is actually an agent.
Or Ferrari more than
at Wilhelmina. And she did indicate that his market is not the most saturated.
Yeah.
In Crystal River, Florida.
But his Tinder is very saturated.
I mean, you always need someone to do, like, photo shoots for the local boutique's newspaper circular. You need that.
I bet that's where Jordan really thrives.
Yeah. And this is when Jordan gets to go up to the hot seat. And
I was like, really? We need more from him now?
You know what? I think they did not fully realize that it was going to be the Jordan show anyway, and that they didn't need to put him in a special seat. Like,
how could they have not realized
that? He could have been in the back row of the audience, and you still would have heard him and no one else. And then, so it did seem repetitive and redundant, and like, you know, it just got into the same things we just dealt with.
But yeah,
so that's when I was like, this really is the Jordan. I mean, this is the first full hours of Jordan.
Yeah.
Is there anything we need to really highlight from this?
I do want to say that
he compared himself to a Rolls Royce.
And then he said that if he saw Christian walking by, he would roll down the window and throw a Slurpee at him. Which, like...
Brain freeze.
He also coached everyone on confidence. Everyone can be as confident as Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no one there was. Everyone could be, but no one is.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we have hope.
Yeah.
So he's also a role model in a sense as well. Yeah.
Yes. Multiple kinds of modeling.
Yes. He does. High fashion role.
Yeah, I'm looking back at my notes of this segment and it's really just people back and forth being like, he didn't take it seriously. And Jordan being like, I was having fun, you jerk. I throw a Slurpee at you. And this is when Joe gets his solo time.
He said almost nothing, but just flashed that sweet, sweet smile of his and I was into it.
I'm telling you, I want to see Pete Davidson portray him on SNL.
I am on board with this idea. Let's let SNL know.
This was a radical proposition to my Twitter friends, but I think it's true.
No, I think you have a point. I also really enjoyed when Chris is like, and let's watch your time on the show. And it's just 10 seconds.
No, I thought it was going to be even I thought they were going to make it just like a second, like him getting out of the limo and then that's it.
They showed
which would have been funnier
because
it would have been more tongue in cheek. And then, but they actually did like, you know, that was more time than he got the entire.
But it was important because Joe was vindicated. I thought that he forgot to tell Becca that she looked amazing. And he didn't. We do see.
He just forgot his name.
He forgot his name. He said, you look amazing. And she was like, who are you? And he was like, I don't know. And then he was
gone. You tell me who I am. Who do you want me to be?
He just seems very confused by all the attention he's been getting. He was like, I thought. He definitely loves it. He's like, I thought I did a horrible job. I told everyone it was going to be deeply embarrassing. But actually, everyone loves me and wants to take my photo.
Yeah.
Thank you, memes.
And next up is Wills, who is in a green plaid suit.
He looks
green
so
plaid
good.
Suit. He has the no tie, all buttoned up white shirt and red suede
boots.
Yeah. So much look.
He was very Christmassy.
Yeah.
It worked.
And yet, I didn't think of it as Christmassy when I looked at him.
Oh, really? I did.
But
which
I liked it. Which is a testament to him.
I liked it.
And Chris Harrison gives him a little, you know, a shout out to his romp him.
Yeah.
Which was another one of his great looks. And Wills is just such a sweetheart. He has these, like, beautiful, dreamy eyes. I adore him.
He talks about how in Vegas, he and Becca talked about a nursery rhyme that their parents both sang to them growing up. And I have to admit, a little part of me was like, well, there are like 5 nursery rhymes and we all know them. So that is.
I imagine in that situation, though, you're really just grasping at commonality.
You're like, you also listen to Mary Has a Little Lamb?
Yeah.
Soul connection.
We really bonded over that.
That's when he knew that he was falling in love with her. And he also talks about inheriting his fashion sense from his father, which is sweet.
That is sweet.
And having confidence in your own skin. Thanks, Wells.
Yeah.
Next is Colton in the hot seat. And we've heard Emma several times give us the Colton and Tia relationship rundown, but he gives it to us directly. He wasn't thinking about Tia. He'd moved on. But he does say, which surprised me, I wonder if he and Tia have worked this out now on Paradise, but he says that he doesn't fault Tia for telling Becca that she still had feelings for him, but he did sort of feel like Becca was looking for a reason to send any of the guys home at that point.
Which is probably true.
Yeah.
And he also makes it very clear that, like, Becca was in no way disrespectful about
these guys. Talking about his virginity. Any of these guys would still marry Becca in a heartbeat.
Like, she seems to have just been incredibly charming and sweet and treated them all really, really well. Because often by this point, you can feel some light disdain between a lot of the contestants and whoever the lead is, like men or women. Mm-hmm. And all of these people just seemed on board with her still.
She's like so comfortable in her own skin and she's fun and kind of goofy. I mean, it's like, I think that's true too. And I also think, here's another, you know, part of this. If you have a situation where you have a lead who's not very popular and on social media, then you would have the cast act differently. You'd have the men or the women act very differently towards that lead. Here's a situation like we discussed earlier with this. Now they know how social media has sort of reacted towards everyone. They know Becca is beloved. There is no one. I mean, people are questioning, obviously, some of her decisions and choices maybe that will come later.
Or like she's boring,
later.
But it's nothing.
No, everyone universally loves her. So it also behooves them to keep echoing that sentiment and not to be contrarian and be like, actually, I thought she was kind of rude, you know, on multiple occasions, you know, like that would be a very unpopular thing to say. And they're there very much to say what they think is the right thing to say and what's going to make them look the best.
Yeah, I do think.
But I think it's genuine, though.
Often, even if they are not accusatory, they will really press the lead and be like, I felt like you could have told me sooner. Mm-hmm. I felt like you could have handled it differently. No hard feelings. I think you're great. I'm glad you're happy. But like, I really feel
I was
like
bummed that you did it that
right.
way.
And they were all extremely like puppy doggish over her still, mm-hmm. which I think is hard to totally fake.
Yeah, no, but, I agree.
And I was like, this is, I wonder what it's like to be Becca and go through life and men just fall in love with you.
And then they just forgive you.
And then they just stay in love with you.
I have a confession. I'm in love with Becca now.
Everyone is. Michael, get in line.
I love her though.
Oh my God.
She's amazing. Amazing.
Amazing.
I know you've never heard that before about her, but I just want to say she's amazing.
You really bring a unique perspective to the show. And I appreciate that.
That's why I'm here. That's why I get paid the big bucks.
We do not pay. I'm sorry.
This is not amazing.
So Chris asks Colton about the virginity conversation.
Shocker.
And Colton actually gets pretty emotional and talks about... I'm sorry. My notes, for some reason, have community sex like next to each other. And I read it for a second and I was like, what's... Community sex got to do with this. No, in the athletic community,
everything.
Sex was a big topic. Okay. And so he was embarrassed. He was ashamed. It was hard for him to talk about it. And he points out that even at Men Tell All, he's hearing stuff about how he's never seen a lady's nether regions, which, to be honest, Jean Blanc doesn't really know that from the information that we have. And he thinks... that it sucks that people think he's less of a man because he's a virgin. And he makes a point to say that he doesn't think it makes him a better person, but he doesn't think that it's baggage or a skeleton in the closet.
I thought he was actually quite eloquent about this, and he spoke about it in a way that didn't have like that opposite issue of putting virginity up on a pedestal. He was just like, this shouldn't be a thing. This shouldn't be a defining thing about me. And we've spoken about this before, and I think we agree with him.
He's 26. Yeah. I mean, good for him. I mean, this is what was working for him. I mean, I think that's fine. I think it would be if he were, 56, I think we'd have to dive deeper into some, and to find out what his rationale would be then, But I think for now, this is a choice he's made, and I don't know. I agree. I kind of like,
and
it
also
is boring,
sounds,
and I kind of tune out for this stuff. Like, I don't really care.
Like,
I mean,
you know what? He'll have sex when he is ready to and wants to.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I don't want to be part of the conversation.
Right. I don't actually need to know when it happens. With who, like
it
says nothing about him.
I don't want it to be a thing on Paradise of like, are they going to go to the boom geez. Boom room?
It will be.
And Jordan says, I respect you for being true to yourself. Sometimes you get called out for it, but I see you.
And yeah, this was really just about Jordan.
Yeah.
It was Jordan's way of being like, yeah, man, you're yourself. I'm myself.
No, it was also his way of, I haven't spoken in 6 minutes. I need to say something. Remember me?
Amazing. And then Jason hits the hot seat.
Buffalo. Shout out to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Go Bills. Bills Mafia.
Oh, my God.
Hashtag Bills Mafia.
They play a nice kissing montage of him and Becca, and Jason just looks
he loves
mortified.
That. I actually thought he loved it. He was grinning. And then as soon as the tone switches and it goes to what I like to think of as the great stonework incident of 2018.
He was getting sad.
His face drops.
It just fell.
He was like courting the crowd. Like everyone applauded at the end of his montage and he's like, you guys are sweet. He wants to date all of us.
Jason wants to date America.
At least 30 pre-selected women.
It was just such an obvious bachelor campaign. And I say that as someone who really likes Jason and would probably enjoy a season with him as the lead.
But it just felt so
I like him better when he's not trying. I liked him better in the season when he was not self-aware or not trying. I think it was absolutely, the bachelor montage on the Men Tell All and after the final rose is always the, yes, I'm heartbroken. Yes, I still have feelings for her. But
I'm actually ready
to find love again. And I know that And I am rooting for her to find love.
And I believe in this process now because it worked for me almost, but not quite. And it might work for me if I had 30 women to date.
Yeah, he's like, I connected with her on a deeper level than anyone else I've ever dated. So clearly this is my milieu. And he says he wants to stay friends with Becca. Okay.
He says this a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And, I did really enjoy when they talked about his brother.
Yeah.
And this... He did say, like, to paraphrase Oprah, love is love is love. And he's like, you know, I don't care. It doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, bisexual, lesbian, transgender.
Yeah. So he's a lot like Garrett when it comes to those views.
I sort of wonder if this was like a light addressing of, or maybe I'm just reading too much into it.
Weird because otherwise I don't know why it would come up. So, like, Chris was clearly like, talk about how you're okay with your brother being gay and, in fact, admire his relationship a little bit. Can you explain why that's fine? And Jason is like, yeah, it doesn't matter what your identity. You can be have a good relationship and other people can learn from it. And that's all that matters. And Chris is like, really well said. It's good to shine a light on that.
Yeah.
It felt a little bit intentional towards, like...
It did, but they didn't say anything.
And I know.
I'm really curious how they're going to... They have to address it to some extent on After the Final Rose.
I think they will. I think they will try to skim over it, but I think it will be addressed in some
way.
I've learned a lot.
Rehash.
We've had hard conversations.
It'll just be a
I've learned that a mindless double tap really matters, and that'll be it.
Yeah. It'll be a rehash
and Becca
of that
will be like,
statement.
Yes. Becca will be like, I've learned that a mindless double tap doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And I can really get over it. And it's fine. So Becca comes out at this point. I sound surprised. I watched this already. Becca comes out.
She looks great.
like it's the proposal. Out of the behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And she's gorgeous and everyone loves her. The end.
Oh, they should have done the thing they do on the proposal where she's just like a weird blob for the first part of it.
Yeah.
It sits there. Yeah. Yeah, listens in, like, from out on the stage. Actually, that would be actually a good, she's listening backstage, but that would be great.
But she's just a swirling mass. Do you ever watch The Proposal?
I've seen a few episodes, yeah.
Oh, man, the the swirling human-shaped mass runs along
it's
the beach.
So funny.
It gives me life.
That is the best part of that show. Okay.
It's like Ghost.
Becca says she talks to Jason for a bit, says that was the hardest goodbye. He asks, you know, what can I do better? And she basically says, nothing.
Yeah.
You're great.
I think he had a really thoughtful question, actually, which is like...
He did.
You indicated that I did not share the depth of my feelings, but I thought that I had, like...
How can I bridge that
gap? What would have bridged the gap? Yeah. And she is not very helpful. And then,
I think when you get to this point and you're the lead, it's like she had to cut people that she just wasn't as into. And there's not necessarily those concrete reasons that people... might want, you might want like a life lesson checklist.
Listen,
in
Jay,
reality,
it's a numbers game, Jay. Sorry, dude.
And then we learned
they hug.
Jason's mom sent him a vom emoji whenever he his kissing came up on the show.
I thought
in
that was
any
pretty
context.
Funny. That was a
cute.
Good, a good mom moment.
Colton talks to her about Tia and the virginity, and Colton is like, thank you for being perfect in every way. I love you still. Goodbye.
And Becca defends Tia and says they're friends. They talk all the time. Stop trolling her, basically.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Will says Becca healed him in a way he didn't think was possible. And
these men are just like, you are amazing. How can I change to be better?
She's curing leprosy. She's just
insane.
Out there. She's like, she's Mother Teresa.
I've never seen anything like it.
Becca is
of
the
Calcutta.
Mother Teresa
Becca
of the Bachelor.
Of
I would love to see a Bachelor who made the women on the show feel the way that Becca makes these guys.
This will
never
happen.
Have you ever seen the women go to the Bachelor? You really healed me deeply and made me feel so respected. And in fact, I think that I no longer need therapy because of you.
It
never happens.
I bestow upon you, Ashley Q, all of the Instagram likes you seek, for I am the bachelor and the one true bachelor. That's what'll happen.
That's what we need. Yeah. I don't know if there's any man capable of doing that.
I don't
think
so. I don't have a lot of faith.
No,
Barack
Obama.
Can we talk about Jean Blanc's SponCon moment?
Yes.
Wow. This was stunning.
So the thing is, Chris is like, does anyone have anything bad to say about Becca? And Jean Blanc is like, yup. And then he comes up and is like, actually, it's all my bad. Here is a perfume that I made. make sure to get the label right to the camera.
Purchase it on Instagram.
Wasn't it shown that the other perfume was like a knockoff? That it was really like this other perfume? Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the exact bottle of like some like pretty popular. I don't know if it's Chanel or what, whatever, but it's like the same exact bottle, and it's clear that the producers just put a label over the original label.
That's so much worse than what I assumed.
I think Reality Steve posted about this on Twitter or something, that it was clearly like it's a bottle that you can very easily find and buy. I don't know if it's Liz Claiborne. It's like some like perfume that they clearly just put a label over the label. So it's definitely a prop.
Shocking.
Yeah.
I assumed that it was a thing where you like go to some little shop front and they're like, it's like make your own perfume, signature scents. And I thought that was already kind of tacky.
Yeah.
But this is a whole new
level.
Sorry,
I like the smell of Nutella.
Who doesn't?
I mean,
I just smear it on me.
Everything about Nutella is great. Yeah.
And he apologizes for saying he loved her and then taking it back. And she's like, nobody's
she's very
perfect.
Gracious.
It's okay. I still don't love you.
Yeah. And then he's like, and here is my new fragrance. It was just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, sir,
we're on QVC
dial it
now.
Back.
Yeah.
Just
ABC
don't.
To QVC.
Just don't.
Right there.
Yeah. But I guess you got to take your moment.
You don't
well,
have
you don't,
to.
You don't gotta, but yeah he went for it.
He went for it.
That
he
was
will.
His goal.
He jumped in.
His goal is to sell perfume. A producer before is like, how are you ever going to sell more perfume if you don't go there and
call
show
Cole
another?
The pussy. Yeah,
that's so true. Yeah. And Becca talks to Jordan, who says, it's great to see you. Thank you for being so respectful and giving us all closure. You did a great job.
Everyone loves it. It's actually amazing.
Even Jordan, of course, says it in the douchiest way possible, which is like head pat. Like, good job, kid.
Also, Becca's like, you're so funny. And he's like, I never tried to be funny.
But earlier he
was like,
people think that I'm being serious all the time, but mostly I'm just being humorous. And then like 5 minutes later, he's like, I don't try to be funny.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Those of you who know me know that I never make jokes.
Jordan also tells Becca that her energy is inspiring.
Mm.
She inspires him. I mean, she's just had a real impact.
Yeah.
And then we finally get to Chris, which I had been waiting for this to come up in a more substantive way because they sort of glazed over it earlier. Mm. And I'd say Chris does a pretty good job with his apology here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree.
He says he wants to sincerely apologize for multiple occasions and the way that he acted, not just for, you know, losing control, but also for feeling very entitled. And I thought that that was a nice amount of self-awareness. And
you could just tell that he had tweets and our articles.
Yes.
You're welcome, Chris.
But I felt like he had actually thought about his behavior and how it came off in a real way other than just, oh, people didn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated that.
I think he hit the nail on the head, and I think he struck the right chord. And I also think, you know, he'll be on Paradise, and so he'll get,
yeah. And from what I hear, he may find love.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Oh, excellent.
And he's really gearing up for his personal growth, I think.
Yeah. That's good. I still think he looks like Ben Stiller's character in Happy Gilmore, who's like the mean nursery
You know, he also
nursing
looks
home
like, who is
guy
that
who takes
actor
care
from
of, Adam Sandler's, Adam Sandler's Nana? Yeah.
Yeah. Who's the other guy that he looks like?
That, oh, God. That actor who's in Friends?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
So we're going to have to just.
But I think it's good. And I think, you know, I think from the people with whom I've spoken.
Oh, yeah. Adam Goldberg in Friends.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't ever remember that because we work with someone named Adam Goldberg. And so I just think of something very different.
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. So when he has like a more, like a little, like very tightly shaven goatee and like.
Yeah.
You see it more. But.
I hear he's a good guy from the people that were been on Paradise with him. Yes.
Yeah.
So that is maybe the feedback I'm getting.
Maybe
that's
he
good.
Grew. We've all had times in our life when we were like 27, 29, 30.
30. Yeah,
they were just 10
and
years ago.
And we just fucking lost control.
For you.
For me, it's now.
For me.
Yeah. Chris is actually our
decade
age.
Decade ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. 4 score and 7 years ago.
You're just paving the way for the rest of us.
Chris, as you may remember, brought a gospel choir night one. He brings another gospel choir
yes.
to sing about how he's a jerk, but he's sorry.
Yes. And that sees us through to bloopers. Any good bloopers that really stood out to you?
Clay and Leo in the tub.
Clay and Leo in the tub. We deserved more of that. That was fantastic. I also enjoyed Chris Harrison telling a 12-year-old girl, this is not, you're not going to learn anything. This is what happens when you drop out of school. The world is not flat.
Yeah, that was at the political debate.
That was great.
Which is, it was billed as an educational date.
Yeah,
and he's like you're not going to learn anything today.
That was a small glimpse into, like, you know, Chris Harrison as himself rather than, like, Chris Harrison, the host and character of like, you know.
Liked Chris Harrison in a while.
He is pretty witty and sarcastic and, like, has, like, a you know, dry sense of humor like that. So.
Yeah.
And then otherwise, you know, it's just the standard bloopers, a lot of bugs, things falling on people's heads.
I enjoyed when we saw that Becca was in her In the Moment in a cocktail hour extremely glittery dress and she's being fed
fries,
like,
a fast food burger
and fries. And
save the ranch.
She drops it on her dress.
That was very relatable. Yeah. That would be me for
sure. Although the people 100%. Of that, you know, the people of Buffalo are probably very upset because, you know, you don't have ranch. You know, it's blue cheese. So, I mean, and she
made that point, even with your fries.
I don't know.
It's a different food.
No, I know.
It's not wings.
I know. All right.
You're a purist.
Okay.
I get it.
I'm overruled, Michael. And then, of course, we get what
save the ranch
might have been the greatest moment of the whole episode, the most educational moment of the whole episode, which is Venmo John breaking down the impossibility of 4,000 Tinder matches with actual statistics.
Yeah.
This was such a moment where I went to a school where a ton of people got into consulting afterwards, and I would look at their prep books for interviews, and it's like you would go in there and they would be like, how many McDonald's are there in Indiana? And, like, well, I know, obviously, because I counted them when I lived there. But, I mean, the little bits of math that you have to do to be like, oh, well, like, there's one every, like, 5 square miles. And then Indiana is about this big. So I assume it. He was doing that with the Tinder matches. And I loved it. So he says, like, oh, he would have had to do 11 matches a day, but based on success rates.
Yeah, he said, you know, you probably only swipe right on 10% of the profiles you encounter.
Picky. And Jordan's like, yeah, that's true. You know,
and
then
he's like, so you would have had to see 1,000 a day, even if you have a success rate of higher than average.
Right.
And Jordan's like, no, I didn't spend that much. I spent no time on it.
Yeah.
I'm very picky, but I spent no time.
John is like, that's bigger than the population of Orlando, like the number of people he would have had to swipe or see. It was pretty amazing. And that's the end. And all we have left is the finale. You guys
We're
excited
here.
For
we've,
the finale? Dead silence in the room.
We've survived.
I'm scared for the finale. I just think I know which way it's going to go. I don't think I'm going to be happy with the outcome.
Just fast forward to Paradise.
Yeah. I mean, Paradise really, looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
This looks like it's going to be a redemption season for Paradise. Like, I feel like after last, the cloud
I
over
agree.
Last season. And
it looks like they also bring in a lot of special guests to spice things up. We see Ben in a mariachi outfit.
Screaming, I'm unlovable.
On the beach.
That's pretty funny. I like that.
I can't wait to see the context that becomes relevant.
Obviously, we're going to get
Ben's on retainer.
Ashley. Ben will just pop in, you know, make, like, a little cameo, make everyone feel good and dip out. We obviously get Ashley and Jared's proposal.
That's exciting, yeah.
And it looks like
Times.
Carly
wow,
and Evan.
In the New York Times. Jeez.
I know. Carla, who hung out with us.
Was it on the print? Was it in print or just online?
I think
online?
It was just online. Okay. I think. I don't know.
If it's in print, I'm gonna ask get
Carla.
A copy of that and frame it and give it to them as a wedding gift.
I don't know. I did not enjoy that they threw some shade at Kevin and Kayla in that.
They did?
In that interview. Yeah.
Oh.
They were asked about that and they were like, who?
Who are they?
Yeah, I didn't actually read it.
Wow. We're better friends to Ashley and Jared than you are.
You're like, I have not read it, but I will frame it.
I saw it. I'll frame it, and then I'll read it when it's framed on my wall. Like,
on
it'll
their
be
wall.
Magnified.
You're giving it to them.
Right. Well, okay. So I am a little creepy. I'm going to obviously frame a copy for myself and hang it on my wall as well. And get it signed by them maybe. And, okay.
Wow, there's
just
a lot
here.
To look forward
there's just
to.
There's a lot.
Here.
So, I love Becca.
No, I'm. Becca, you're perfect. You healed
Becca,
me.
You're perfect if you hear this.
Oh, God.
But yeah, I think we're all just ready. We're ready for paradise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time.
It's time.
It's almost paradise.
Almost paradise.
We're knocking on heaven's door.
And that's where we end this. Cut the pod.
I'm never invited back again.
I don't know how to transition back out of that.
I'm out. Jordan, you have the last word.
Fuck you. And now it's time for Feminism Fails. We have just one glaring one.
But it's actually kind of like
two.
It's like a bifurcated
two-part
feminism fail. It's John Blanc's comment to Colton that he is a pussy and also has never seen one, experienced one, touched one. We're not sure. Either way, first we have the equation of female genitalia with being weak or like lesser, which is bad and a fail. And also the idea that not having had penetrative sex makes someone weak and lesser and bad. And both of those things are really high up on our feminism fail list. So I'm going to give this
a
joint five.
A joint five. And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks so much to our guest, Michael Garofola, and of course to our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Do you love Here to Make Friends?
You do.
Find us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to subscribe and give us a rating. We love hearing what you think. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, so please like us there. You can find both of us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. Or, of course, you can always send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon. Stay tuned.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.